My next guest knows about the risks young men of color can face in Southeast Seattle. Marty Jackson works with the Seattle Youth Violence Prevention Initiative, helping young men find work and stay out of gang life. She was working with Stephen Stewart right before he was shot and killed in Columbia City.
When it comes to the loss of a young person that you knew, it has a huge impact, not just on me, but all of the people who worked with this young man and the potential that he had, and to think about how often you talk to the young person and was there anything that you could have done or said? And a lot of the times, you know, there isn't.
Is there something I could have done or said? Marty Jackson asks herself that a lot. And she still wonders, could she have done something different herself for one young man in particular, her son, who joined a gang even as she was working to keep other boys and young men out of gang life?
I don't think that you could ever prepare for the impact that that has. I think, although knowing what being gang involved looks like and working with young people who are involved, I don't think I really knew fully why all young people joined gangs or what led them to that point. And I think that doing this work and doing it for some time and doing everything that you can to change that trajectory for your own kid, just hoping that that wouldn't be something that they would choose, I think has had a bigger impact. When I think about everything I did from when my son was a kid, you know, as a baby growing up and knowing what was out there and wanting to make sure that he had all of the opportunities afforded to him, thinking that that would prevent him from getting involved in a gang.
Why were you wrong about that? What was going on?
I think that as a parent and kind of somewhat removed, just because I wasn't, you know, involved in gangs. However, you know, I did have brothers who were, and so I knew what it looked like. I don't think I really understood the disconnect that happens for young people, particularly young men of color.
What disconnect is that?
The disconnect from their community, sometimes from their family. I always say perception is reality. And so as a mother raising your kid and thinking, okay, and put you in private school at a young age, you know, thinking that, okay, I want to make sure that you get all of the opportunities afforded to you. And I was going to do whatever it took to ensure that he got the educational opportunities he needed to get ahead, involving him in other pro-social activities. He was in sports. And so his father was around. I was around. My family was around. He had uncles, aunts, big family. And so you think that you keep them involved and engaged in positive activities in a positive environment, well, there's going to be a positive outcome. And for my son growing up, and no different than me growing up in a household where, like, it was normal for you to go to public meetings and there were task force and to help out with, you know, different public officials in terms of candidacy and thinking about the campaigns and all of the things that I volunteered for as a young person, I thought about my own experience and feeling disconnected and not really understanding why my parents did what they did. And so I relate that to my son, the disconnect in thinking that because you do all of these things, that his perception is the same as yours. And it wasn't.
What was your son's perception?
And his perception, it was a lot of pressure to be in a family like this. And when I say, I mean, all of my brothers and sisters are all involved in the community. Seeing us work with young people and seeing us, you know, engaging with the community in a lot of different ways, whether it was a peace rally or, you know, just other pro-social community block parties, all of these things he grew up in. And I think back and I think I've never really asked him how he felt or how connected he felt to the work that I was doing and that my family was doing. And so if never asked, you make the assumption that his perception is the same as yours.
Is it like being a preacher's son or daughter that you know, parents
are
the pillar of the community?
Absolutely. I would say similar, definitely parallel to that. And I think that it happens with a lot of community activists and community organizers. I think the pressure of what you were supposed to be and how you were supposed to act because of your parents and not feeling like you have a voice. caused them to be rebellious.
This is relatable to so many parents, right? Here you have these great intentions. And as I said, you work with young people. You're at the Youth Violence Prevention Initiative. How does what you learned with your own son, how does that change and inform the work you do with young people in Seattle today?
Well, I think I always tell people my best training has been the experience I have with my son. I think he's taught me more than any training, any book, any manual. I grew up in a household where it was very dictator-ish. And so, you know, you had a tremendous amount of respect for your parents. And when they spoke and told you to do something, you responded and did it without hesitation. And I think that growing up in a household where, you know, that was traditionally kind of how you approach things, my son really taught me how to listen. It was a very humbling experience to hear what his perception was and how disconnected he felt from his family, from, you know, his parents. You know, as a parent, you think, why didn't I pick that up? Why didn't I see that? And so really thinking about in different ways, what's common across the board is I think about my experience and I think about how no kid is exempt. Like it isn't always the kid who didn't have parent support or didn't have his father in his life. Sometimes it's that social emotional connection to family members. If you can't find that connection with anyone else in your family, well, it can lead you somewhere else. And that's what happened to him. It led him to other young men who felt the same. And unfortunately, it led to other negative activity in a negative environment, but really from a positive intent around what he was looking for.
So now, Marty, as you listen before you teach, it sounds like, what are you hearing the kids of Southeast Seattle saying about what they need, especially right now over the summertime? Things get more hot and loose and violent over the summer, don't they?
Well, I think a lot of people feel, young people feel invisible. I don't think that a lot of young people and the young people we're talking about who might be gang involved or might be court involved feel like they have a voice in their community. And I think it's really creating opportunities, although, you know, services help, but I think it's first creating opportunities for young people to be acknowledged. And I mean the most marginalized young people, I mean the most vulnerable young people in our neighborhoods, and really thinking about how do we contribute to that? Do you know, in your neighborhood, as you're walking by young people, do you say hi to them? Do you ask them their names? I don't know that that happens a lot in our neighborhood. And I think sometimes because of fear, you know, people walk by and are a bit cautious because of a lot of the media, negative media that's been portrayed in the Southeast neighborhoods. And growing up in that neighborhood and anybody else who's grown up in the neighborhood, all of us know that there are way more positive assets in the community that would overshadow if people knew all of the negative incidents that have happened in the neighborhood.
Is this especially an issue in Southeast Seattle where there's gentrification and new people coming into the neighborhood, or could we be talking about any place?
I would say that gentrification plays a role. I think that when you have people moving into the neighborhood and they're not familiar with the culture, all they've really heard is a lot of the negative media coverage that happens in the Southeast, particularly the Rainier Beach neighborhood. And so not knowing all of the assets or finding out, you know, what's great about the neighborhood, and I mean specifically regarding the young people and the people, the residents who've been there for a long time, I think there's a misconception. And I think that you don't necessarily, if you don't know where to go or if you don't know who to talk to, you know, there's this very negative perception of Southeast. And I think that's what perpetuates fear, and fear perpetuates this disconnect between young people and adults.
What are the solutions you're seeing? What works?
It starts with relationship building. What has to happen is we have to make our young people feel connected again. And that comes with acknowledgement first. It comes with giving them a voice. And once they do find their voice and they start to speak up, that we listen and we really hear what young people need.
That's Marty Jackson, Southeast Network Coordinator for the Seattle Youth Violence Prevention Initiative. You're listening to The Record on KUOW 94.9 Seattle, news and information.